happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey, last verse, then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says we will do, where He sends we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Praise the Lord. You may be seated. Grab a Bible. Let's open it up this morning to my favorite book for this month, anyway. It's still Philippians, and we're still in chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Praise the Lord. I do have a bunch of missionary letters that I got in, and a bunch here that I have not read even before that, I believe. So I was going to say we could find another night to go through these, but we're not here that many nights, so we'll go through some of them on Friday night. We got a newsletter from VBS, Victory Baptist Press. Praise the Lord, we're still sending Bibles to South America. There is a announcement from Twin Rivers Baptist Church. My friend Dr. Jeff Owens, again, pastoring down there, and they've outgrown their building twice in the 3 years that he's been there, praise the Lord. So they're down to New Bern, North Carolina. North Carolina's booming while New York is shrinking. Keep them in prayer. They're asking again for support for their, or prayer support for their work. And then we heard from the Kessler family, praise the Lord, the Underwood family, the Myers family here, and Mike and Pam Lehman there in Thailand. So a bunch of missionary letters. Let's be mission-minded and keep our missionaries in mind. And then I got a letter here from Jeannie Stout, again, and let's keep the Stout family in prayer. It is a just buried Mike Stout, pastor, Mrs. Rice, and church family. Thank you for your prayers and thoughtfulness. The flowers were beautiful. May God bless you for the kindness you have shown to our family because of Christ, Jeannie and family. So keep the Stout families in prayer there as they again go on with the work at Heritage Baptist Church. Keep Heritage Baptist Church in our prayers as they're in need of a pastor. Philippians chapter 4. We've already spent some time in Philippians chapter 4. I do see an end coming, but it might be weeks. So, praise the Lord. One more major heading we want to get through. Right now, we're looking at the power of God for living the Christian life. Again, I had an outline that started again. Well, I didn't, because it all starts with the same letter. Dr. McGee had an outline that talked about the philosophy of a Christian life in chapter 1. The pattern of a Christian life in chapter 2. The prize of living a Christian life in chapter 3, and then the power for living a Christian life. So I thought appropriate, again, we begin this year, 2023, looking at the need of power. We need power in this day and age that we live, power to live the Christian life. And so let me read again and review for you some of the things we've already covered. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word. I'll read down the first 8 verses, and we'll look at some things needed for the power to live a Christian life out of Philippians chapter 4. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eudeus, I beseech Cinti, that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my yoke fellow laborers, whose names are in the book of life. I like to pause right there. Remember when Jesus sent out his disciples and they come back all excited because devils were subject unto them. And they had the power to do healings and everything else that Jesus had commanded them when he sent them out. And he said, marvel not in this, but rather marvel that your name is written down in heaven. And so it's always good to marvel about that. And we get strength from that. Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Verse 7 promises, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Well, look again at verse 8 that says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just. We looked at those three last week. This week I want to focus on whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Father, pray again that should help, that we could have a renewed mind and think on the things that you've told us to hear. And as we do that, Father, I pray again that we'd understand the precarious position that you've got us in right here in our own nation now, where again you are scoffed at and mocked. Father, as we walk here as Christians, I pray that you'd give us an inner strength, a power to live our Christian life in such a way that we could be a testimony of your saving grace now more than ever in our lives. And we'll praise you again and thank you, Father, for some of that power. And Father, for some of the thinking again that would be in our mind and get rid of some of the stinking thinking that sometimes controls us. And Father, cause again that we could have minds that are pure, have minds again that are lovely, and have minds that are pondering things that are good. And we'll praise you now and for your blessing on your words and on this message. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen, amen. You may be seated. Purity, if you were to study it out in your Bible, you find that it's listed in the Old Testament again. As 40 times with the word pure or purity. And then 50 times, same Hebrew word, with the word clean. About clean animals, about clean sacrifice, about clean things again that ought to be in our lives and were certainly in the particularly the Old Testament temple. In the Greek and the New Testament, you find 17 times it's used again about with the word purity, and then an additional 10 times with the word of being clean. And so the word itself, purity, there's several categories I want to look at here that we ought to have purity in our life. But here, notice again that the meaning of the word is not mixed or adulterated with any other substances or material. Pure means, again, the first occurrence of the word there in the Old Testament is the pure gold. That the ark is to be overlaid with pure gold. And you find that repeatedly down through the Old Testament. And that gold represents the righteousness of God. And listen, I like this part. We're just as what the Bible calls shittim wood. And that's a derogatory term for wood, by the way. Sometimes we don't even like to say that word out loud as we're preaching and considering. But I'd have you again that that's trash wood. And that's what we are. That's again the picture that's in the temple. But yet it's all overlaid with pure gold. The righteousness of God. And so we are just flesh and blood. Vile, even flesh and blood, but God had seen fit, if you're a born-again Christian, to clothe us in the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ that's portrayed in that Old Testament worship as pure gold. And so we are to, again, think on things that are pure according to this challenge. Again, and you can get an understanding of the purity of gold. And all that it goes, all that is gone through to make gold pure gold. I've got me a piece of 14 karat gold right here. I don't know what any of that means, except for the fact this is the purest that we could afford when we married. And so, again, the gold, again, has got some characteristics that it doesn't tarnish, that it doesn't decay. And so gold is a precious metal. And here it's talking about pure gold, and that's portrayed. The first use of the word in the New Testament, let's look at that, is in, hold your place there in Philippians. Well, I guess we've kind of got the thought memorized by now of those six things that we are to think about. Look at Matthew chapter 5. Let's look at the first use of that word in our New Testament. I like this one again, and someday I'm going to preach a whole message on this. In the meantime, I just get little jabs at it here and there. But Matthew in chapter 5 is what I like to call the nine blessed R's. That's where Jesus is given his first extended message, the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 5, look with me at verse 8 again, and we're down into the blessed R's. The first three blessed R's again would be poor in spirit, verse 3, and they that mourn, and blessed are the meek. Those are three conditions in a person's life that you need before you could even come to Christ. Again, before you could have salvation. And then once we are saved, I like to look at the next three that change our life. Hunger and thirst after righteousness and are merciful. And then the third thing given there for what enters our life again is that in verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Bible says, except you're born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And here's a step further, that we've seen the kingdom of God in our lives. Now we need to come to a place where we can see God. And we're going to do that by being holy, by being pure. That our lives, again, are pure in heart, as it says there. And so we want to focus a little bit upon this purity that we ought to have in our lives. And so as we do that, notice again that our... let me cover a couple more things in the definition of pure. From Noah Webster, 1828, said again, a pureness of sound comes from, again, a pitch that is perfect in tune with a clear tone. And so our lives ought to be that. Clear and perfect in tone. Perfect in morality, Noah goes on. Wholesome and untainted by any immorality, especially that of the sexual nature, again, which shows up over and over in God's Word as a thing that adulters our purity, both physically, spiritually, and mentally, again, keeping our mind stayed on Him. And focusing on things that are pure, things that are lovely, and things that are of good report. And so, as we consider these definitions, again, I would have us understand that in our life, physically, there ought to be a purity, keeping our life free from sin, keeping our life physically free from spot. Bible says avoiding all appearances of evil. And again, keeping our life in that kind of purity. It's important for our testimony that we have, again, a pure life. And then secondly is that we could keep our lives morally pure all the time. And again, the Bible says, Jesus here, when in that same message on the Sermon on the Mount, said, if you think wrong, then you've already sinned. And so keeping a moral purity in our whole life and being morally pure. And then lastly, that we could, again, keep our minds pure. And that, again, is what Paul is dealing with here. As to receive power to live the Christian life, you need to keep your mind stayed on Him. There's a lot said about the renewing of our mind in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this pureness, again, ought to be all over our life. There's coming a day, praise the Lord, that we are going to be clothed in pure white linen. And again, that's a picture. I've talked here about linen before and where linen comes from. You can't buy very much linen today because they never really found a mechanical process, a machine that would go through and pull linen into strings that it just didn't work, like cotton or wool. And so again, to take the flax and take the big stalks of flax and pull it into linen cloth or linen thread and then weave it into linen cloth. That's all done by hand. And I was always curious about that. And so we'd always go to the state fair. We haven't done it in years, but go up there and look at them making linen cloth. All with the, what's that big round thing with the big wheel that spins and they're spinning thread and doing all that stuff. It always intrigued us. And linen has some qualities that the more you expose it to sunshine, the whiter it gets, which is not like wool, not like cotton. Again, the more you expose your cotton t-shirt to sunshine, the yellower it gets. But linen, again, is such that the more you expose it to sunshine, the whiter it gets. Linen has a quality that the more you wear it, the softer it gets. I guess that's the attraction of what denim blue jeans, again, is supposedly the more you wear it. And so it got so, again, you could buy pre-washed denim because, again, it was softer. Now they pre-wash it and then rip it into shreds before you could buy it. So I don't know where that's going. But, again, to understand that linen has a quality that the more it's used, the softer it gets and the more comfortable it gets. And so, again, so it is in our Christian life. So it is with the righteousness of God, pure and white. The more it's exposed to the sun, I like that line, the more it's exposed to the sun, the whiter and brighter it gets. And certainly that's true in our Christian lives. Let's look over at a verse. Where were we? In Matthew. Let's flip back to a book. I don't know where I found that here. Let's go with Thessalonians. Why would you go to Thessalonians? Let's try Corinthians. Nope, that'll never work. Let's see, there's a bunch from Proverbs. Look at Titus. Anyway, there's a verse. Let's look at Titus. Talking again about our purity. The other one escapes me right now. I always taught that at youth camp. I dwell on the fact that we're to be possessing our vessel. I thought that was in Thessalonians 4. But possessing our vessel. That's what we're to be doing, possessing our vessel. All the vessels in the Old Testament that were used for God's service were of pure gold. And Paul talks to the church at Thessalonica about possessing your vessel. And we're to be doing that in purity. Look with me at Titus chapter 1. and verse 5. Boy, I really mixed up my references. And that isn't the right one. So you have to check with me later to find the true reference. But the verse says, under the pure, all things are pure.
Oh. 15.
What is it?
15.
My semicolon turned into a 1, I guess. Or my 1 turned into a semicolon. Ah, look at Titus 1, verse 15. Under the pure, all things are pure. But unto them that are defiled... Boy, it's easy to defile your life. It's easy to defile your thinking, especially in the age that we live in, and what's pumped right into our living room in the 3D almost. Unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and conscience is defiled. The Bible talks here in the New Testament about having a mind that is pure, having a conscience that is pure, and keeping our conscience pure. And so, again, looking at that word purity one more time, it means, again, that there's nothing else in it. There's no other substance in there. And again, Jesus gave the command that when he was asked a couple times, what's the greatest commandment? He gave it again and again that says, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. And again, as he gave that again, notice that there's not a lot of room for other things in our life if that's what we have. Think about all the other things that squeeze into your life. I thought about that a little bit this week, and I was riddled with guilt again about all the things that squeeze into our life. And certainly there are things that's necessary in life. When we went to Haiti for a mission trip, I remember thinking, wow, this is our first mission trip in a foreign land. This was exciting. We're going to see how a missionary lives. And we were shocked that a missionary on the foreign field spends almost 80% of their time just trying to live on a foreign field, and food and housing and electricity and feeding the family and raising the family. 80% of their lives, again, is consumed with just living on a foreign field. Haiti, of course, was a third world country, and maybe it takes a little more effort to live at least with some of the comforts that we're more used to. Again, even in our lives, we should find ways that everything we do, has that reflection of loving the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. Going to work. Wow. And using that to love the Lord our God with all our heart. Maintaining things of life, doing grocery shopping, the things that we do, again, we're to be consumed with, we're to have this purity of thought, purity of mind, purity of morality, that we, again, have one thing on our mind all the time. And so, back in Philippians, when it says, think on these things, and we're to think on what it is, things that are pure, things that are lovely, and things that are of good report. Notice again, the Bible has much to say about what those things are to be. Let's look at a few Psalms real quickly. And as we do that, let me just read them off for sake of time. Psalms chapter 12 and verse 6 says that the words of God are, anybody know?
Pure
words, praise the Lord. If you've got any kind of modernist translation, they adulterated that very verse and did not keep it pure. because they didn't like the idea that it's the Word of God that's pure. They say, no, it's the saints that are pure. No, saints aren't pure. And so again, the Word of God has a standard of purity. It is pure. And boy, right up front, we, as a Christian, we want to be careful that that does not get adulterated. And anything, again, that has a modernist flair and ecumenical connection, again, so they tried to make a Bible that's acceptable to everybody and offends nobody, and they're still on the road. They're still trying to make it less and less offensive. But listen, it has been adulterated. It has been perverted from the get-go. It's important that we have the pure Word of God. We emphasize that around here. The pure Word of God, it says again, that we may be cleansed by the Word of God. Ephesians chapter 6, maybe 5, covers the fact that He purifies His chaste virgin to be pure in His sight. And He does it by purifying by the Word of God. And so your life is purified by the Word of God. Appreciate again, as we start the new year, we've started again. I hope everyone here started reading their Bible every day. If you don't make it through in a year, at least get the habit of reading it every day. That you open this book and apply its pure words as cleansing water in order to purify our lives. It does that. I guess I could qualify as a guy who had too many books on his shelf and was asked, which is your favorite book? And he said, of all the books I have, I read them all, but I have one book that reads me. Okay? And that's this book right here, the Holy Bible. It reads us. It changes us. It cleanses us. It brings us to purity. It'll purify our thoughts. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice unto God, wholly acceptable, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of our mind. Our mind needs to be renewed regularly. And so we need to spend time in the Word of God. The little barometer I like to take out and look at is, do I spend more time in the Word of God than I spend in front of the idiot box? Ooh, there's a tough test. Go ahead and put a clock on it and time yourself. How much time we spend in the Word of God, how much time we spend in entertainment or amusement. Amusement, muse means to think deeply about, and amusement is no deep thinking again. And there are times in my life, I'll be honest with you, when I just need to sit down and do no deep thinking at all, usually late at night. But again, understand that we need to be careful that we're getting God's Word, because it is the standard of purity, and we need that in our lives. Remember Jesus when he was washing the feet of the disciples, and I think it was Peter said, no, don't wash my feet. Wash my whole body. And he said, you are pure every whit. In other words, we have already been purified through the Lord Jesus Christ. But we still need our feet washed. We still need a cleaning up again in order to maintain that purity. Look with me. So that was one of them out of Psalms. It says the fear, on your way to Proverbs, it says the fear of the Lord is clean. Same word, pure. In Psalms 19, again, one of my favorite Psalms. In verse 9, the word or the fear of God is clean, it says. And then Psalm 51, create in me a clean heart. Same word for the pure heart. Let's look at these verses in Proverbs. You might want to mark them in your Bible if they're not already. Proverbs 15 and verse 26. Proverbs 15 and verse 26 talks about this. Character of purity. Psalms 15, or Proverbs, I'm sorry, Proverbs 15, verse 26 says, "The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination." It's an interesting word as well. An abomination. It doesn't get any more vile than that. That's a description that God gives for certain sins, again, are an abomination to Him. And most of them are sexual sins that man is tangled in. And yea, indeed, that today, again, that our society is headed as deep off into the abomination of sins as it can get, and doing it, again, with no brakes on. And so the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. Look at the second half. But the words of the pure are pleasant words. And so, again, we need to, again, take that into practice and find those pleasant words because of our purity. Look at Psalms or Proverbs 22. Another one, another vein of this pure thoughts, pure things. Proverbs 22 and verse 11. "He that loveth pureness of heart, for the grace of his lips, the king shall be his friend." And so again, the Bible says that we can live peaceably with all men as much as lieth in you. And again, we can have a purity that is an attraction, yea, even to the world. Here, even to kings. Chapter 30 and verse 12. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 12. Proverbs chapter 30 is old Agar. And verse 11 says, "There is a generation that curses their father and doth not bless their mother." And then verse 12 says, "There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness." They're pure in their own eyes. There are people, you've probably met some, that are of a reprobate mind. In other words, no matter what truth you hit them with, they will not turn from the lie that they're believing. And again, there's a lot of that in our society right now, hanging around the queer sodomy lifestyle, again, that's being promoted by our own government. That's a reprobate mind. There's some, and I just bumped into a little bit of that again here recently. There's some who think that the earth is flat. And listen, that's a reprobate mind. I've argued with some of them for 5 years now and not moved them one inch away from their idea that the world is flat. A reprobate mind, again, is described there in that verse. "There is a generation, oh how lofty their eyes, and they are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness." And so praise the Lord that you're not stuck in one of those caverns of thinking again. But when we bump into people that are, understand that God can save anybody. And God can turn the life, even if we have a loved one that's tangled in some besetting sin like that. And even if they're of a reprobate mind, God can save anybody by prayer, supplication, with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God. So we've looked a little bit here at this, keeping our minds pure, keeping our minds, again, based on things that are lovely and focused on things that are lovely, and keeping our minds focused on things that are of good report. And the first three, again, has to do with truth and honesty and justice. The last three that we looked at here is kind of a personal quality of our own lives, that we keep our lives pure, that we keep our thoughts pure, that we keep our intentions on things that are lovely, on things that are of good report. And we ought to be occupied with those things. I've seen Christians occupied with other things. It's a pretty ugly thing. And I knew I had that written down here. Possessing your vessel, 1 Thessalonians 4:4. I had to write a book. I couldn't find it on my page. We ought to be possessing our vessel, again, pure in purity. We ought to be possessing our mind in purity, our mind stayed on Him. Even when there's other things that we've got to be doing, are keeping our mind stayed on Him. And then keeping our spirit stayed on Him. I've been on bus visitation. I've been on soul winning with people who want to put another mark in their Bible and say, "Hi, I won another soul to the Lord." And sometimes our motivations are all wrong. And keeping our conscience pure and our motives pure. That the things we do are because we love the Lord. Not because we're trying to impress somebody else. Not because we're trying to get... Listen, I want to word this carefully. Not even because we're trying to maintain a good testimony. But again, certainly we ought to be. We ought to be conscious of that. But again, it's because we're going to love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. And sometimes, again, we might end up with a sullied reputation for doing that. But in the long run, again, we want to keep our minds pure and stayed on Him. And God will work out all those other details. That, again, is the evidence here that we have in wanting to live a pure life. And that is where the power of God comes from. If you've got your life and it's got a little bit of dirt in it, the power to live a Christian life, a Christian testimony, is going to be hindered by any other dirt that we get into our lives. Any of our stinking thinking that gets into our lives. Any of our selfishness that gets before our surrender to do all things for Christ who strengtheneth me. Father, praise you again and thank you. Thank you again for these charges from Paul to the church at Philippi. Father, we know he's got a theme of rejoicing throughout. And Father, we know again that we can rejoice in you and rejoice in your power. And Father, we could do that so much better, so much more thoroughly when we again keep our lives pure, keep our thoughts pure, keep our thoughts and lives on things that, dwelling on things that are lovely, things that are of good report. So I pray again that you'd help us to take this charge in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 that Paul lays out so succinctly and cause again, Father, that we'd give it some thought as we'd walk through this week of things again that are corrupted in our lives and getting dirt around in our walk. And I pray again, Father, that you'd help us to live a life that's pure and stayed on Thee. And we'll give you all the praise. Thank you that we could worship together this morning and pray your blessing on our attempt to do that and to lift up your name in our lives as we begin this new week in you. Pray that you'd bless those that are here, bless those that had a want to be here but couldn't, and Father, cause again that we could hear from heaven in this new week we begin. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen, amen. Let's go ahead and sing a song. It's probably someplace in your songbook. There is a name I love to hear. Oh, how I love Jesus. Let's stand. And if you need a songbook, grab that. I'm going to act like I don't need one and I can remember some of the words. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in my ear, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me. It the Savior's love, who died to set me free. It tells me of His gracious love, the sinner's perfect plea. Oh, how I love Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus, oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me. There is a fountain filled with the blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus, because He first loved me. Lord, bless you for worshiping together. You're dismissed. I was going to ask you to set a mousetrap on your way out, but I won't.
Oh, we need to get a cat.
That's right. I'm a church cat.
I'll bring my cat over for a couple of weeks. He's a hunter. They got a 4-point this year.
I don't really have poison out. We just poisoned the fly population upstairs.
They said that's harmful or harmless on animals. It says it on box.
If you didn't want the Eagles winning, they sure won by a lot.
They're not going to win.
You're thinking wrong. I hear a guy, I don't know what he was talking about it. He goes, he goes, why should we be praying over us? He goes, when praying is not allowed anywhere else. And he goes, number two, he goes, why does it take so many more tests? He goes, and we don't worry about it.